Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This isn't Bob Christopher. This is Richard Piper. I'm here with Andrew Farley today, and we're going to dive into the Word of God, answer your questions. We love doing this. We love talking with you, and we can't wait. Again, that phone number is 844-322-2742. All this month, we've been talking about relationships and what constitutes a good relationship and what are they based on, what's the foundation. And I thought I'd end, because this is the last 2 days of the month, we'd end on these two really powerful passages in Ephesians. The first one is Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. This is the beginning of that amazing prayer, Paul's amazing prayer in Ephesians 3, but just the beginning of it. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. This is a statement of identity. If you want to know who you are, go to the Father. The Father will tell you who you are, because you and I derive our names from him via Jesus Christ. The other passage is just one chapter earlier in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 14. This is talking about Jesus. For he, Jesus, is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them, that's Jews and Gentiles, to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So, in the first passage we're talking about identity, and in this passage we're talking about whatever divides us, and especially between Jew and Gentile in Paul's day, has been torn apart, torn down, because of who Jesus is and what he accomplished. Andrew, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, first I see that you've got these Jewish people who are running. I mean, they are running and chasing after God via the law. They're trying to perform. They're trying to please him. They're trying their best. They're exerting more human effort than many across the planet. Yeah. And then you've got these Gentiles who would have said, Moses who? I've never heard of Moses, you know. Yeah. There's no effort being made. They're not seeking after God. They don't even know his name. The name of Yahweh is foreign to them. And so I love that this new covenant brings together both groups. But notice also, you know, the majority of people listening to us right now, Richard, are likely Gentiles. And,
yes.
And what that means is, you know, our forefathers were those barbarians. Our forefathers were pagans. Our forefathers, likely some of them, were marching around campfires calling upon pagan deities. And, you know, they would have said, Moses who? They
Absolutely.
Had no relationship to Israel at all. As Ephesians says, we were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, no covenant, no hope, no promise, no God, but he intervened. And the beautiful thing is that this gospel is not about law keepers. It's not about Jewish people. It's not about Gentile people. It's about humans receiving the grace of God, which is totally free. And God didn't say, I'm going to wait for you to chase me. I'm going to wait for you to please me. I'm going to wait for you to pursue me. He said, I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to initiate. And, you know, we're talking about family, and what a demonstration of fatherly love and the love of the Creator to, you know, pursue us. And even after he has us in the family, Richard, you know, I love that You know, when he's giving advice to parents, he says, fathers, don't exasperate your children.
Yes.
And it reminds me, hey, you know, if God's giving us that instruction, then obviously he doesn't exasperate us. Mm-hmm. And that's just a picture of his heart, a picture of his soft heart toward us, his beautiful grace that he always exudes in our direction. And yeah, what better model for a father and a healthy relationship with parents than God the Father himself.
Yeah, it's just an incredibly beautiful thing. Well, you're listening to Basic Gospel, everyone. The phone number here is 844-322-2742. Give us a call if you've got a question. And we have our first one. We're going to our friend Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Boy, you guys just blessed me all over. I just can't, you know, what a dynamic duo today, along with that person in the middle of the threefold cord. Andrew, I've been doing some work, you know, and with a lot of your messages, and I've been in the Jesus series, and I think this is so apropos. If you could, please, in regards to relationship and the love of God, if you can, in time given, discuss John chapter 15 in regards to the vine and the branch and the branch bearing fruit and the vine and how all that works in relationship. I think it would really bless everyone. Thank you very much, and I'll listen off. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Brad, yeah, I mean, I'll take a few minutes here to really talk about that. The bottom line is, thank the Lord that we are a branch and we don't have to try to be the vine.
Yeah.
You know, Richard, how exhausting that would be for us to try to be Christ or imitate the Lord all the time and look back at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and try our best. I mean, my goodness, Jesus has already one-upped us and a thousand-upped us. I mean, he walked on water. He raised people from the dead. And so when I look at him as a historical figure only and say, you know, what did Jesus do and what would Jesus do? And I get into imitation and play acting and looking back and just sort of trying to act as if I'm like Jesus. Well, then I'm not really living from the relationship that he described. I mean, your destiny, my destiny is actually to be united with Christ, joined to him, and to enjoy life as a branch. And what I mean by that is that the pressure's off. I don't have to be a producer of anything. In fact, I'm a reflector, like a mirror. A mirror doesn't produce something. It only reflects the light that comes upon it. So in the same way, I mean, we're not the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. We're children of light. We're compatible with him. We're God's kids. But as far as the power, the resource for godliness, that is all Jesus. He is the vine and we are the branches. So, Richard, I love the analogy, you know, because as you work your way through this chapter in the Gospel of John, I mean, basically, he's saying the Father takes great care, and that's what we've been talking about, is fatherhood and parenting. The Father takes great care with Jesus, and in the same way, Jesus and the Father take great care with us, that we would bear much fruit. And, you know, we can welcome that. We don't need to be scared of God's mentoring. We don't need to be afraid of God's discipleship in our lives. He's going to save us a whole lot of time and wasted effort walking after the flesh and teach us new ways to think and new ways to act.
Yeah, he will. And I love that chapter. I used to hate that chapter. I thought, well, I'm doing well because I'm doing better than I was, you know, a month ago. And then I read the chapter again, and then I realized that the part I really didn't like was that God takes great care, great pains to prune us. Hmm. And I didn't want to admit that I needed pruning. You know, I'm doing just fine, thank you. I'd rather you prune those people over there. And when I finally got over myself and got away from the fear and realized, as you just described, that he is such an awesome father, such a perfectly loving father, that there is nothing to fear in his discipline, nothing to fear in his pruning. And he does it so gently And if there's any bleeding involved, it's instantly healed because of who he is and how he relates to us and through us. And it's just an awesome chance to allow the Father to teach us how to be fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and fellow, you know, children of God. It's just an incredible thing.
Amen.
Well, folks, you know it. You don't have to look very far to realize that marriages and families these days are just being pounded on. It's been that way for a long, long time. Satan absolutely hates families. He hates good relationships. He would much rather we were killing ourselves in the streets than to have even one person relying on Jesus for the strength that they need to have a positive Christian, beautiful relationship. And Bob Christopher speaks to that in this series we've been talking about all month called Inside Out, Marriage and Family. He takes for this series passages from Colossians where Andrew referred to it, you know, fathers don't exasperate your children, and how do wives submit to husbands and husbands honor their wives, and how do you deal with the workplace and all of these things. And he does it from the standpoint of Christ in you, your hope of glory. And so I highly recommend this series. I was there when he gave it originally. Powerful stuff. It's very easy to get a hold of. If you will go to our website, basicgospel.net, and click on the donate button, or in the banner, you will see that Inside Out Marriage and Family, you can just pick it right there. If you will give us a gift and let us know that you want that, we will be happy to send it to you. What do these gifts do? These gifts are used to put this message of God's grace in Jesus Christ for us into the world, into those situations where people are being put upon, where they're discouraged, where things they thought mattered turn out not to matter, asking the right questions but not getting anywhere near the kind of answers they need. That's what you're supporting. You are having an impact on people who are very, very much needing Jesus Christ and wanting him. So please go to the website, basicgospel.net. We got a phone call from a guy named Jerry out of Waco, Texas, and he's got some questions about law.
Hi, guys. Love your program. My name is Jerry out of Waco, Texas, and here's my question. It's in regard to the Jesus' greatest commandment. Now, many people list the commandment as a single commandment, and it's joined together by the conjunction and, love God and your neighbor. And so many say it's Jesus' greatest commandment, but and we see that in Luke, and they're referring to Deuteronomy, as I understand it. But in Matthew and Mark, it listed as two separate commands. And so that's my question. Is it two separate commands or a single command? And the reference is Luke 10:27 and Matthew 22:36 through 40. And also, there are three words, heart, soul, and strength in Luke. And in Matthew and Mark, you have heart, soul, mind, and strength. So you have three words and an additional word added to Matthew and Mark. So if you could expound on that, I would greatly appreciate it. Also, what's the difference between mercy and grace? I understand grace is the embodiment of Jesus Christ. And so what is mercy, as they're used interchangeably many times? Thank you.
All right. Well, that's a great question from Jerry out of Waco. Jerry, thank you for calling in with that one. It's going to be a great contribution to the program because, you know, when we talk about love God and love your neighbor, we need to take a step back and remember what question Jesus was answering. He was actually answering the question of what are the greatest commands in the law. Now, remember, you as a new covenant believer under God's grace, you're not under the law. So even though Jesus tells us what were the greatest commands in the law, we still need to remember that they were part of the law. So calling a spade here, we say, well, you know, trying to wake up every day and loving your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, trying to love God with all your strength, and then turning and trying to love your neighbor as yourself, even though that sounds noble and good, that is still a law approach to love. And then you understand that on this side of the cross, there's a different approach to love. Jesus said, a new command I give you. Not speaking of the old commands of the law, but a new command I give you. Not the way of Moses, but the new way of Jesus. And here it is. He says, love others even as I have loved you. Now, that's one they had never heard before. That's
correct.
Why Jesus called it a new command. Love others even as I have loved you. So what I love about that is that first you have to figure out, you know, how much does God love me? And you have to soak in that love. And as we said earlier on the program, you have to be a receiver of that love. You have to be a reflector of that love. You're going to love others because God first loved you. And recognizing that he first loved you is going to take some humility on our parts. You know, we might think, oh, it's too selfish for me to be a receiver. I can't afford to be a receiver or a reflector. I need to produce, produce, produce. Well, remember, apart from me, you can do nothing, he said. So we find our place in branch life. We find our place in being a branch and being a reflector and being a receiver and in discovering how much God loves us and then loving others even as he's loved us. As far as, you know, Richard, as far as the wording on one passage versus another, I think a lot of times we put a lot of stock in a word or a phrase here or there. But, you know, I have a hard time believing that Jesus taught these concepts once and only once. I mean, he traveled from hillside to hillside and group to group. And, you know, I'm sure he's expressed it one way to one group and expressed it slightly different to another. But, you know, when it comes back to Jerry's question, it's almost moot when it comes to, well, should I try my best with my heart, soul, mind, and strength, or just try my best with my heart, soul, and strength, or should I try my best with my mind? The bottom line is, hey, it's not about you trying your best.
It's about either way, the buzzer goes off and the MC says, thank you for playing.
Exactly.
You still failed.
Yeah. And, you know, to hit the last point for just a minute, the difference between mercy and grace. You know, mercy is when a judge, for example, gives you a lesser sentence or takes away a sentence. I mean, mercy is having compassion on someone, especially when they've failed, and then the sentence is either removed or diminished. Well, grace is much bigger than that. Grace is 1,000 times bigger than mercy. Grace is, you know, when the police officer pulls you over and says, hey, you know what, you were going 100 miles an hour in a 60 zone, so, you know, I should write you a ticket, but I'm not going to. Now, that's mercy. But then if he pulls out $1,000 and hands it to you, that's grace. You know, you didn't deserve that by any stretch. You deserved punishment, and he's handing you $1,000. That's getting riches at someone else's expense. That's what grace is. So, you know, in that, Richard, I think, again, God is showing off his generosity. God is showing off that we're not just escaping punishment, but we are incredibly loved, incredibly equipped. We're one with Christ. We're not just forgiven, but we're made righteous. It's like the difference between, you know, if we measured your righteousness on a scale and you came out at a negative 10, well, you know, mercy would say, hey, I'll make you a zero. I'll make you neutral. I'll take away all the negative.
Yeah.
But then grace would say, no, no, I'm not just going to stop at a zero. You're not just moving from negative 10 to zero. I'm going to take you to a 10, maybe even an 11. You're off the charts, positive 11, off the charts righteous. And that's what grace really is.
Mm-hmm. And that's what grace has really done.
Yeah.
We have been declared fully righteous because of who Jesus is. And that that is an important point. There's something that has always helped me with the passage about what are the greatest commands of the law. That's one of the few places where Jesus gave an answer and his questioner said, oh, that's well said, thank you. I mean, they understood the law, and he explained the law to them, and then he fulfilled the law and gave us this new command. Here's a related question, and literally it just came in today. I got it in the mail. A guy named Eddie, writing from Harlingen, Texas. Mm-hmm. He thanks us for the program and all of that, but then he asks this question. It's been on my mind, and it's about anger. In Matthew 5:21, Jesus says that if you are angry with someone, you are already guilty of murder. Does this mean that any time I am angry with anyone, for even the smallest thing, I have already committed murder?
That's a great question.
It sure is.
It's a fabulous one because it forces us to really take a real look at Matthew 5 and its true context. And, you know, basically the bottom line, the answer to his question is, well, yeah, if you're considering what law looks like.
Yes.
And, you know, beginning in verse 17, he says, hey, the law's not going anywhere. The law is around until everything is accomplished. And then he says, nobody can get rid of this law. And then he begins to expound on what the law really demands. And the law says, hey, you know what? If you call somebody a fool, you're in danger of hell. If you get angry, it's the same as murder. If you look at someone with lust, it's the same as adultery. And then when it's all said and done, after you've chopped off body parts, cut off your hand, pluck out your eye in your fight against sin, then all you really need to do is just be perfect like God is perfect.
Yes.
And by the time we get to the end of Matthew 5, you know, we end up a dead person. There's no way we can escape the clutches of the law. Matthew 5 is like the law on steroids. It's like Moses 2.0, the beta trial version. Good luck with that. It's going to leave a mark for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus did that on purpose. I mean, he told the rich man to sell everything. Why? Was selling everything really the way to salvation? Well, he was showing him that there's a standard that he can't reach. And, you know, I liken it to Mount Everest. I mean, if I attempt to climb Mount Everest and I make it a tenth of the way up and I come back to you, Richard, and I say, hey, you know what? I tried to climb Mount Everest all by myself with no assistance and I couldn't meet the challenge. I only got 10% up the mountain and had to quit. I was freezing and exhausted and came home. Well, I'm not bashing Mount Everest. I'm not denigrating it. I'm not insulting it. I'm just saying it's a perfect and impossible standard, and I can't do it. Well, that's what we're saying about the law. It's a perfect and impossible standard, and that's why I need grace instead. So the comforting answer to good old Eddie here as he called in about anger being murder is, look, that's the law's standard. That's 613 laws staring you in the face. That's Moses 2.0. And that is supposed to threaten. That is supposed to kill. That is supposed to condemn. And yet, on this side of the cross, Jesus freed us from the law. He freed us from that standard. We're under grace. God is not counting our sins against us. Eddie, every time you've been angry and acted out in that anger, that would be called a sin, and yet Jesus Christ took away every single one of our sins. So to me, that's the big comfort in the end. We're off the hook. We don't have to pay for our sins. We get to know the grace of God, and he helps us in and through, you know, by his Spirit. He helps us with the anger issue, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Well, we're coming to the end of today's broadcast. It always flies by when I'm working with you, Andrew. Thank you so much. Remember, folks, that are in the last 2 days of your ability to get this new CD series, Inside Out, Marriage and Family. If you want to get it for free, basically, just go to our website and make a donation. Indicate on that donation that you want to receive this series, and you will be impressed. It will help you in your family. It will help you deal with your neighbors, with your work environment. It really is God's work in us that enables positive, healthy, Christ-like relationships. And if we try to do any of this on our own, all we're going to do is make a hash of it. All we're going to do is hurt ourselves and hurt each other. So think about that. Get that series, Inside Out, Marriage and Family, and we'll thank you for it. Well, this is the end of our broadcast. So on behalf of Andrew and me and all the rest of our staff here at Basic Gospel, thank you for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.